children, we're starting.
That's right.
Another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotu.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 84 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from audiotu.com, and with me, the world famous Shelton Muller.
Now, how do you figure that, Bruce?
Well, I figure that on account of the fact that in the last 12 months, you have had 2 internationally booked weddings. One that flew you to Canada and one with pommies who've moved to Australia but who booked you from England. So as far as I'm concerned, you're world famous.
Oh, and don't forget Shutters Inc.
Well, you know? That too, yeah.
Yeah, don't forget Shutters Inc., you know, and the emails we get from all over the world. Where Absolutely. Have we had emails from? I think we've had them from Saudi Arabia, Dubai, of course, all over the United States, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, of course.
To be honest, I lose track of which, like, I can tell you countries I've received emails from, but I can't remember if they were Shutters Inc. or if they were from my other podcasts. But I've had Ireland, I've had Mexico, I've had Paraguay, I've had Israel. Just about every corner of the globe.
Let's not talk about the other podcasts. I mean, no. I don't talk about my other girlfriends. No. So, you know, all right, a bit of tact here, Bruce. Thank you. You know, it'd be nice. Okay. Yeah. I like to think that I'm your only guy. You know? we've had an interesting week. The moment that we mention, that we need some help from you guys, our listeners, and guys, of course, seems to be the case because we didn't even get a hello from Holly in Canada. You know, mention her by name, and oh, does she email and say, "Hey, thanks for the mention, guys"? No.
Snubbed,
I think. Yes, either that or she feels overwhelmed by the male company with whom she listens to this podcast. But Holly, if you are listening,
maybe she's just got too many guys to choose from.
That could be the case.
We just don't rate.
She's seen our pictures on the internet. Holly, if you are there, remember that Canadians are renowned for their good manners. So, and case in point, when I was in Banff, and I don't know whether I've told this story to our podcast listeners before, but when Nathan and I were in Banff last year, I was driving a little hired Ford Focus, and we Nathan and I had sort of dumped our stuff in the hotel room and thought, let's go out for some health food. So we've looked for the local pizza place.
Yeah.
And we're driving along, and there's a pizza place. So, you know, and guess what? There's a George Costanza parking spot right out the front. Lamb! Right? So I just went zip straight in. And of course, as I've pulled into this parking spot, and I didn't reverse in, I just went front in, you know.
Yeah.
There's this four-wheel drive that just sort of takes off from just in front of where I was about to park. He was about to reverse in.
Oh, no.
And here I am, man from out of town, seriously out of town, right? And I've just stolen this local's guy, local Banffian, his parking spot.
He probably parks in that parking spot every day.
Possibly. And I just zipped in, you know. And so anyway, I park my car and he goes up the street, maybe, I don't know, 50, 100 meters. I park my car, I run up the street and I get out of the car and I said, mate, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you there. I didn't see you there. You know, I didn't mean to take your spot. And he says, oh, that's okay. We're Canadians, eh? You know, no problem. You know, I thought, man, I wish more of the world was like that. Steal my parking spot? That's okay. I'll find another one. Imagine how many wars we could avoid with that kind of beautiful mentality.
Yep,
so, absolutely. Holly, if you are our only female listener and you are listening, please say hello so that we know you're still there, okay? Because we really do treasure your female company and your input. But we did get a lot of really great emails.
Yeah.
And today is email day. Because we've had some really great emails and there have been some really great questions. So I thought, rather than rack my brain looking for a subject that might help, I'll just come up with the subject you guys have come up with. So shall we start off with the email we received this morning?
Why not?
Do you want to read it or shall I?
Okay, I'll read it. This is from Jason. I'll take a stab at it. Keishler? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Yep. Hey guys, don't worry. There are some of us who have listened to the whole 83 episode series and I have improved my skills much by listening to Shelton's rambling and Bruce's Yeah. Best podcast I listen to. Thanks and don't quit, Jason Kreischler. Hey, do you see where he lives?
Bruceville, Texas.
Man, I've got to move there.
I want an email
address, bruce@bruceville.com.
Bruce at Bruceville. I wonder, you know that Monty Python sketch with the Australians?
The Bruces, yeah.
The Bruces? Yeah, I wonder whether, you know, I wonder whether they're all going, is your name not Bruce? No, actually, it's Michael.
Oh, what I if we call you Bruce to save the confusion?
Yeah. Mike. This is a wattle. You can. It's the emblem of our land. You can shove it in a bottle or hold it in your hand. Amen. Shall we go on to rule number one, or shall we just move on to other emails? Now, I'll start from the top. Shall I, Bruce?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Here we go. And I'm going to read them, and I hope you guys are all really interested because there's some really great questions here. And I thought that we would just talk about your emails, honor the process of your input, and of course, by so doing, continue to encourage further input from all our listeners. From Bob. Thank you, Bob Fisher. Of course, we all know Bob. He's a regular input guy here, so thank you for that. Starts off by saying, I'm tough. I can take it. And I think we critiqued one of his images, didn't we, Bruce?
Something like that, yeah.
We did it nicely, though.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah, good. Okay. I'm tough. I can take it. It was good to get some critique, since most people are terrified to give it to me. You must be a big bloke. And I do love Melbourne. I'll be searching out a house while I'm there in February. Okay, well, that's fabulous. He's coming to move to our city. As far as the podcast and ideas for future podcasts, it would be useful to go further into post-processing and occasional tips in Photoshop, since that is the benchmark for finishing photographs, i.e. the new darkroom. I listen to many podcasts. Well,
I think by that he means Lightroom, but yeah.
Or he's talking about the fact that it is the dark room that's available all digital.
Yeah, right.
It could be. I don't know. But he could be talking about Lightroom. But yes, that's possible. Here's the thing that bothers me, Bob. I listen to many podcasts and read a number of digital photo mags. Okay, we are the number one podcast, and really, you know, I don't think you need to go any further. I mean, if you feel the need to listen to other podcasts, that's fine, you know, but I thought we were servicing your needs quite well here at Shutters Inc. What do you reckon, Bruce?
Yes, mate.
All right. And
Bob,
and read
I
a
think
number-
you're off his Christmas card list, mate.
That's it. And read a number of digital photo mags, not because I'm that interested in the articles, but in many places, in an almost offhand and not that important to the article.
Just reading it for the pictures.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Now, are you sure these are digital photo mags that you're reading for the pictures?
Well, the photos were taken with digital cameras.
With airbrushed pictures. And he says they're a little full of little tips which kick my work off, kick my work into a whole new level, learning layers, etc., etc., etc. I'm just sort of paraphrasing here. I did join, and so look, what do you think, Bruce? And listeners, would you like an end of Shutters Inc. Sign off with maybe a Photoshop tip?
Yeah, for sure.
We can just do something like that every week, and that's fine. I think it's a good idea, and thank you, Bob, for that. So I won't read the entire email, but it was just an interesting suggestion that we'll put out there to you guys. If you want us to maybe begin our podcast or end our podcast with a Photoshop tip. You can never get too many of those, and so that's no problems at all. Learning layers, Bob says, and what layers were totally changed my photography. I'm a painter by skill, so the use of layers made a lot of sense. That's very, very interesting what he says. I did join a local camera club and decided not to let my arrogance get in the way of meeting new people. You don't sound arrogant at all, Bob. The photos were so boring, and the main focus of the club was the photo in focus? Members always loved my photos, but I never won any prizes because my photos didn't fit into their parameters for what makes a good photo. The rule of thirds is important, but after all, it's only a rule. And yes, that's an interesting thing too, and we can talk about rules for photography at another time. But for the moment, Bob, thank you very much for that input, and yes, I look forward to seeing you for that lunch in February. Moving on, from Kane Simons, thank you very much for your email, Kane. It says, "Hi guys, thanks so much for the Gorilla Pod. I loved it so much I went straight out and bought the SLR Zoom version." Good on you, mate. That's terrific. "I just thought I'd share a tip after listening to the Panning Podcast. I've included one of my pictures I took of a friend's new car. I find that while looking through the viewfinder with my right eye and keeping my left eye open to track the subject, it becomes a lot easier to follow the pan when the shutter opens. Anyway, thanks for the podcast. Easily the best on the net." There you go, Kane. You guys know how to, you know how to get on the good side of us.
I actually put that on the blog when that email came through.
Yes, so check it up on the blog, Kane, and of course all our listeners, because he's made a very good, if using that technique of one eye closed, one eye open works for Kane, you have a look at the picture and you see it works very well. I'm a left eye photographer, so I'd have to keep my right eye open. And there's an interesting subject for discussion. Yeah. Are you a left eye or are you a right eye, and what is the difference? I have tried shooting through my right eye. I can't. I am a left eye photographer. Can't do it any other way.
See, I'm the other. I shoot right eye through the lens and left eye outside the body.
And I, like you,
I think I would struggle if I had to swap over.
It's obviously a right brain, left brain kind of thing. I'm going to have to do some research, because I've talked about it. But if you're a right eye or a left eye photographer, let us know. And I wonder what the difference would be. But I have tried being a right eye, and I just can't. Not that I don't know why I tried. I just thought, I wonder what the difference is. And it just... just wasn't working for me. So, but either way, whatever eyes through the viewfinder, it's the other one. You keep open during the panning.
I'd never even considered that people would shoot with their left eye through the lens, because it seems to me that, you know, most camera bodies are designed to, you know, you use all of the controls with your right hand and you support the lens with your left hand.
Mm.
And so I just naturally assumed that everyone would look through the viewfinder with their right eye, because that keeps the majority of your face off to the left-hand side of the camera body and away from the controls that you would be trying to use with your right hand. Where it would seem to me, if you're looking through the viewfinder with your left eye, then your nose and your mouth are sort of right over your right hand where you're holding onto the camera body. Would that be correct?
And when you've got a nose like mine... you know, I mean, air is free, so I'm taking advantage of it. You know, it really is. It's an interesting situation. I have never thought of it before. I don't know whether the size of my schnoz would make any difference between right eye or left eye, and it'd still be, you know, there. I don't know. It is true that the viewfinder is slightly towards the left of the camera, meaning that it would be easier to handle if you're a right eye kind of guy. But I'll have to look into
that. Interesting.
There's obviously, like I said, a right brain, left brain sort of thing.
Ooh.
And the interesting thing is that when I was born, I was actually, or you know, when I was a toddler, I was left-handed, naturally left-handed.
Yep.
And so in Latin terms, I was sinister, not dexter.
Yep.
Sinister meaning left-handed, and dexter, from which we get dexterity, and dexterous meaning right-handed.
Okay.
And it is interesting, isn't it? That sinister actually means left-handed, and it segued into the English language as being someone of evil motivation.
Wow.
Because left-handed people were considered, you know, non-trustworthy in the Middle Ages. That's serious, yeah.
Because I'm left-handed.
Are you left-handed?
I'm such a sinister character.
You are. In the true Latin sense of the word, you are sinister, Bruce.
Right.
You are. You're sinister, not dexter.
Wow.
But my mum, there's a photograph of me, and I'll actually, just for interest's sake, if you're interested, there's a photograph of me and my older sister, and my mum has sat me down, and she's teaching me to be right-handed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, seriously, and I'm sitting there, and I've got a pen in my right hand, and she's teaching me to be right-handed, because in the mid-60s, when I was a child, you know, to be left-handed was considered a disadvantage.
Wow.
So now I am right-handed, and I play my guitar with my right hand, but I'm wondering if perhaps I had stayed left-handed. Now, I've battled with guitar for 30 years.
Yeah.
I listened to guys who played for 2 years and then I wiped the floor with me. I'm wondering if my, you know, the way that I work was disrupted by my mum swapping me from left hand to right hand. And I wonder whether I'd be a better photographer also if I'd not swapped that, you know, method of thinking in my brain. I wonder whether it's hindered my dexterity, which is of course being right-handed, but we'll forget about that. My dexterity, or my ability, my way of interpreting the guitar, from being left-handed, because, of course, Hendrix was a left-hander.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney. You know, maybe that's the case. I wonder if also it has stifled my photography by being, you know, maybe I've swapped from right eye to left eye in the process or something like that. Okay. You know what I mean? It's an interesting thought. I've never thought of it before. And, of course, I'm just raving on now, which, as per Jason's podcast, Shelton's ravings and your yeah, yeah. See, you're doing more than yeah, yeah, mm-mm on this podcast. So that's good.
He left out the giggle.
If you... Sorry?
He left out the giggle.
Oh, the giggle, yeah.
Jimmy Bruce was, yeah, hmm, ha ha ha, yeah.
Yes. But if you're listening to this and you have some you know, ideas on the subject, or maybe even you've studied it, we'd really love to know what you think. Okay, moving on. This is from Ron Coupland, and Ron, welcome to our podcast. Bruce and Shelton, I listen regularly, and although I'm not an SLR owner, I've learned quite a bit from Shutters Inc. I took this shot of my daughter, and we'll post it on the backyard.
Yep.
Oh, good. Thank you. On the backyard swing with my Canon A630 after hearing the podcast about panning. That was a popular little podcast.
That's exactly what I said on the blog post. This has just been an amazing topic. You know, I'm still 2 weeks later, people are still sending through photos.
It is amazing. Oh. I didn't know that it would have that kind of reception and be that interesting. So thank you so much for being interactive, everybody, on
Absolutely.
That subject. Because it's good to know what you're interested
and
in.
And don't feel that the topic's dead yet. You know, if you've... suddenly remembered that you've got an old photo from way back, or you've just gone and taken one that's a panning shot, you know, don't think that because we did that as a topic a month ago that you can't send through a photo now. You know, I'm more than happy to still share the talent.
And in fact, the combined experience of everyone who listens is for the benefit of all. You know,
absolutely.
And that's why we read these emails, because when you send an email into us, you're basically, you know, giving us the opportunity to share the benefits of your experience with everyone else.
You've just reminded me of something, and we should have done this 80 episodes ago. If you're going to send through a photo and you have any of the EXIF data available to you, mm-hmm. It'd be really handy if you included that in the email, you know, like what shutter speed, what ISO, what aperture, what focal length. Certainly mm-hmm. those four, you know, if that information is handy to you at the time that you're sending us an image, if you want to include that in the email, that would also be handy for everyone else who's reading the blog and looking at the images and, you know, just this idea of sharing information and sharing experience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in so doing, I think we'll form a photographic fraternity that brings peace to the world. That's my noble aim through Shutters, Inc.
Sensational.
Now, he goes on to say, usually I listen to the show before going to sleep at night. I can't tell you how many times I've jumped out of bed, pulled out my camera, or opened up Photoshop. Your wife must hate us. This was especially true. I'm taking it you're married, Ron. You sound like too nice a guy not to be. This was especially true right after I bought my camera back in September. Although I'd taken more than 16,000 pictures with the Kodak DC220 Plus that I owned since the late 90s, I knew nothing about how more sophisticated cameras worked. Little by little, Shutters Inc. has taught me how to use my new Canon. For the record, I love my A630. It's easy to use and seems to have a good deal of capability for a compact. I would love to know how it is regarded in the industry. Well, it is regarded very highly, actually, in the industry, the A630. And let us never underestimate, Ron, the power of a compact. Look, the images that I've taken on my Ricoh GR and more recently the GX100, I'm absolutely stoked with. And I love carrying a compact around. It's just so much fun. So you never, ever underestimate the capability of a compact. And every listener on Shutters Inc. should just go out and get himself, you know, a nice little compact, because they are fabulous to carry around. And they really, the good thing about them, and we have talked about this before, so I won't go on, is that they keep you eyes open and alert to images. And that can only be a good thing. But Ron, I just wanted to say, if you are the owner of a Canon A630 and you took a picture like this, go out and get yourself an SLR. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. I'm really serious, mate, because if you can pull out an image that good with a compact, not that I'm denigrating, as we know, compacts, I'd love to see what you can do with a digital SLR. So I'm sorry, go out and sell a child or something, get them, you know, or just get into debt like the rest of us, which is what I always say to hitchhikers. Buy a car, get into debt like the rest of us, man. You know, mate, go out and get an SLR. Buy yourself a, you know, a little Canon or a little Nikon or something, and just get into SLRs, because if you can pull out an image like that with a compact, I reckon you would absolutely love the process of an SLR. I really do. David Elfring has sent us some images, and we are going to touch on this at the end of the podcast when we get round there. Shelton and Bruce, I've shot with a diffuser and just my plain old Nikon SB600 flash. Frankly, I think diffusers, you may remember we mentioned this a few weeks ago.
Is this flash diffusers?
Flash diffusers, yep. I was just going to clarify that. Thanks, mate. Yep. Frankly, I think diffusers are way misunderstood with four R's, or four Y's, I mean, at the end there. Way misunderstood and misused. 2 years ago, when I was new to my DSLR, I latched onto the diffuser like some kind of Harry Potter magic elixir. While I was very excited about light, but I didn't understand it. Now I know just enough to know that I really don't know much, and that is true. The more we learn, the more we realize.
No, it's just enough to be dangerous.
Yes, that's right. But it is true about photography. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
Yeah.
In essence, I find that understanding how to use the built-in diffuser and adjustable angles on my SB600 works just as well as simple plastic diffusers under most circumstances. I've even been known to cut my hand behind the flash, use tissue paper, etc. And yes, David, so have I. I've enclosed some of my own examples. Some are creative bounce flash shots, two are with a diffuser, and one is simple old-fashioned natural light. I think many of us overlook that whether it's using flash with a diffuser, softbox, or natural light, it's all about light, and there are no magic elixirs. It has taken me 2 years of tinkering to start to get the results I thought I'd get when I started to push the shutter button 2 years ago. Okay, maybe I'm slow. Actually, David, you're not. You're very fast. These, you know, images show that, yeah, you've got a pretty good handle on it. And In response to that, I did receive, now I've approached a few companies about their diffusing flash systems. The only company that's actually been good enough to send me one, and I received this in the mail yesterday, is a flash diffuser system called the Ultimate Light Box System. And it's from www.harbordigitaldesign.com. I'll send the link through to audio to you, and Bruce will post it up. And this is called the Ultimate Lightbox System. And it's funny, I went and checked my mail yesterday and then photographed a wedding. Who gets married on a Thursday? I don't know. But this was the English couple to which you referred when we started our podcast.
Yeah.
So before I got to the wedding, I had a few minutes. So I quickly unpackaged it, stuck it on the front of my flash, and I thought, I'm going to experiment at the expense of their wedding with this Ultimate Lightbox System. And so I stuck it on my flash, and I shot with it a fair bit during the day, and I was very impressed. I've not been impressed with a flash diffuser system, but actually I pointed the flash directly at these
at the couple,
and it was fine. It really softened the light, and it was, you know, very soft. It still had a shadow, but nowhere near as harsh as straight flash. And it was great for combining a mixture of bounce and and direct flash. It sort of, you know, and made the light wrap around very nicely. I was very impressed. I'll come back to everybody on this subject, because I'm going to continue putting it to the test like I promised you that I would. But initially, very impressed at the Ultimate Light Box System. If you Google those words, it will take you to the website. Very nice little product, and I'll get back to you with more on flash diffusers. Okay, now is everybody still listening? I hope we haven't signed off, but I've got some great emails, and I will get through all of these.
Yeah.
Zachary Pierce, thank you very much for your lengthy email. I will try to paraphrase. He starts off with saying, "G'day, mates." He spelt it correctly, but he didn't put the accent on it because mate is spelt with four A's in Australia.
Mate.
Right? So, Zachary, next email, it's "G'day, mates," with at least four A's, all right? Now, he talks about his situation with photography and how he started out and has, you know, let it go for a while. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Could we have a Homer Simpson-esque type scream inserted into the soundtrack here, Bruce?
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Now, he halfway through the email, he starts out, he continues by saying, "With my background of photography and graphics, I see the benefit of the digital life. The most intriguing aspect for me is the immediacy of the result. Always questioning my decisions on shutter speed and aperture was what I dreaded the most with my Canon AE-1. Boy, the AE-1, mate, that's going back a few years. Mid-70s, the AE-1. Now I won't have to wait to have my film developed and printed to see my successes and, of course, mistakes. I'm sure you understand. And yes, you're right, we do understand. Now, I'm looking for a good camera, be it a rangefinder or an SLR. Either would be fine. I have a soft spot for SLRs, and yes, get an SLR, I would suggest. And absolutely has to be digital." Now, he goes on to, tell a few what he wants and what he wants to do. And I'll get stuck into the questions. "As threatened," he says, "here are the questions. If you were in this situation, and that is that he travels a fair bit, what camera, that is brand, model, etc., would you buy and use for trips such as this? Second question, depending on the type of camera you recommend, would you suggest additional lenses and filters? Third question, how important would it be to have a tripod on such a trip? Fourth question, depending on the type of camera, do you recommend any certain type of memory card and how many for long trips? I've had my eye on the Canon Rebel and have heard great things about it. I've held it and absolutely love how it feels, or actually how many SLRs feel in my hands. I'm leaning in this direction, but would like your opinion. I realize you are Nikon men, at least one of you, so your thoughts would be great. That's me. I'm the Nikon man. Thanks for your time, mates. I look forward to hearing from you, Zachary." Okay. Very quickly, Zachary, your answers to your question are, what camera, brand, model would you buy? I think you've answered that yourself. If you have held the Canon Rebel and you like it, that's great. And the Rebel is a nice little camera. It really is. Yes, I'm a Nikon man, but, you know, Canon wouldn't have sold the millions of these things that they have if they weren't good cameras.
Yep. I was actually looking at the 300, which, because I think what they call the Rebel in America is what was marketed here as the 300D, wasn't it?
Yes, I think
so. Yeah, I was actually looking at that before I realized that Minolta had brought out the 7D.
Mm, yeah.
And I like the feel of the Canon as well.
Yeah, look, it is nice. It, for my hands, and I haven't got big hands, I've just got long sort of hands, it was a bit small and lightweight. I like a heavy camera. I picked up the new Canon EOS 1D Mark 46 or whatever the model they're up to now, and it was heavy as get out, and the salesman said, "Oh, I don't like that. What do you think?" I thought, "Oh, I love it. Oh, it was great." Had this thumping great big bit of 50mm 1.4 glass on it, and it was just a beautiful piece of thing. It was just fabulous. I like a heavy camera because it just feels like a tool of the trade to me, but others don't like heavy cameras because of the very fact that they are heavy. The Rebels and the Canons in that sort of level of camera were very lightweight, and I don't know, I just don't feel like I could trust a camera that is so lightweight. That's just me, you know, I that's just silly old me. And there's a little more, I don't know, there seems to be a little more substance to the Nikon bodies in that range, but, you know, I haven't really put that to the test, so don't, you know, it's just one of those things. If you like the Canon Rebel, go out and buy it. There are some great cameras in that range. You might want to look at DP Review and have a look at some of the comparisons against it, but if you like it in your hands, that's a seriously big plus. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the type of camera you recommend, what would you suggest? Additional lenses? Yes, most definitely. And filters? Yes, most definitely. And we've covered podcasts on this subject before, so go back to those, Zachary, and have a listen if you haven't already. You said you've listened to the last 15. You've only just recently logged on, so go back, because we have talked about the filters that every photographer should have, and the lenses too that photographers should have. How important would it be to have a tripod on such a trip? Very.
Mm-hmm.
You should always have a little tripod at the very least, because you say that you're heading off to Nepal for a bit of a hiking trip. I would definitely suggest a tripod. If you're taking a hiking trip in Nepal this October, where photography, as you say, will be your main interest with landscapes as your favorite, then definitely a tripod. Now, if you can afford the weight, carry something like a Manfrotto, at least a 190 with a good ball head or something like that. But, you know, if you can carry something a little more substantial.
Well, he's got Sherpas, so they can carry it.
Hey, that's what that's right. But definitely do not go there without a tripod.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, great photographers like my late great mentor, Galen Rowell would never travel to a location like that without a tripod, yeah, simply because you want to use your hyperfocal distance in depth of field for your landscapes,
yeah,
which means small apertures. And some of the best light, of course, is either just before sunset or just after, especially in the mountains, where you get the alpenglow. You get fabulous alpenglow in Nepal. And you will need a tripod to capture that, and you will need a graduated, maybe just a Kokin G2 or something like that filter to balance the foreground and the background with your alpenglow shots, so that you don't, you know, so that you don't have to meter for either. You can meter for both using a grad filter. So make sure that you've got a tripod. Make sure that you've got a good wide-angle lens. A nice prime would be good, or a good zoom if you want, like the Tamron 11-18 or one of those lenses in that range, and at least a polarizer and a graduated neutral density or graduated gray. Then he says, depending on the type of camera, do you recommend any certain type of memory card, and how many for long trips? Well, yes, a good memory card. You know, the SanDisk Extremes are among my favorites. Very reliable cards, and I've put, you know, gigs worth of information on these things, and they've never failed me. I've had other cards just go belly up on me, but the SanDisk Extremes and the Ultras never
have. As you may recall, I took a no-name brand 1 gig CF card to America with me last year, and I got home and found all of the images were corrupted.
Oh,
lost. Oh,
yes, I do remember.
Not happy.
Oh, and you know, you throw thousands of dollars, you know, at a trip.
Yeah.
And you don't, you know, get. I've never had a problem with the SanDisk Extremes and Ultras, and they come with software that, just in case, just in the odd chance that, you know, it does, you can, you know, rescue, the SanDisk Rescue Program comes with it. And, you know, I've never had a problem. And I've got an 8 gig and 2 4 gig cards from SanDisk, and they are fabulous. How many for long trips? Well, how many pictures are you going to take? Are you going to shoot RAW? Are you going to shoot JPEG? That's a hard one. I wouldn't actually leave them all on the memory cards. I would transfer them to a pretty reliable little portable hard drive or portable DVD or CD burner. That's probably what I would do if I were you, Zachary. So let us know how you go. Let us, and we can, of course, over the next few weeks between now and your trip to Nepal, answer your questions in more detail. If you haven't found those answers already on our previous podcasts, the ones to which I have referred. So just let us know that, you know, you are okay with that. If not, we'll continue to answer your questions, because we're good people and that's what we do here at Shutters Inc. Now, moving on, Ian Reed, thank you. Bruce and Shelton, I've owned a Konica Minolta 5D. So he's one of your lot, Bruce. Yep. There you go. He's a brother in the... He's the other guy. There you go. Good on you, Ian. Your brother is named Bruce and he lives in Sydney. And I've owned a Konica Minolta 5D for a few years and I want to move to the next level. I've decided that good photos depend on A, the photographer, B, the lens, and C, the camera. Good combination. I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm working on A, and believe me, which is the photographer, there's a lot of work to be done. Good on you, mate. In terms of the lenses, I need to decide which system to buy into. As a result, I've been looking at the lenses I believe I would use, and was very interested to find a list of lenses on Shelton's site to cover landscapes, portraits, macro, travel, and wildlife. A couple of these lenses were already on my wish list. Now, I don't know what site you're referring to. I'm on a few sites. It could be Photoblorge, Total Image, my personal blog. My own website doesn't have a list of lenses, so that photographybyshelton.com doesn't have a list of lenses. So it's probably one of those others. I'd be interested to know which one it was, Ian. However, I was very interested to see that there were no Nikon or Canon lenses in the list, and as a result, there were no image stabilized or VR lenses. I don't own a VR lens for my Nikon. Ian, I have no problem with them. I've used them, and they are fabulous. And that is to answer your next question. I was looking at the Canon 70-200 f/4 IS lens and thought that the extra stops offered by the image stabilization would be a major advantage, as I tend to handhold most of the time. And I would agree with you, there is certainly an advantage to these image stabilization and vibration reduction lenses. I use the Nikon 105 micro with the VR, and I shot at 1/10 of a second on a mic on a macro shot.
Wow.
And it was sharp. I just went, hello. You know, it was incredible. And other lenses, a friend of mine owns the VR 70-200 2.8 Nikkor and absolutely loves it. Can shoot at a 15th, 30th of a second. So, you know, with a 200mm lens, that's quite incredible. So absolutely they are an advantage. The reason that on the sites you've mentioned, I probably didn't mention Canon and Nikon lenses is not because I don't own them. I do own Nikon lenses. I also do own, though, other brand lenses. And that is to, and that's in answer to one of your questions. I would love to hear comments on lens quality of the third-party providers like Sigma, Takina, and Tamron, the value of image-stabilized lenses, done that, and any buying tips when out getting lenses. Well, I have owned all three of those brands, Sigma, Takina, and Tamron. I have been a very big fan of the latter two, Takina and Tamron. I own a Takina 28-70 2.8, and I love it. It's sharp, it's fabulous, and it's very nicely built. The Tamron lenses too, I love them. As I said, I've got the 11-18, the 17-50, and the 183.5 micro, and they are sharp as. And I think, to be honest with you, these companies give companies like Nikon and Canon a run for their money in terms of value, practicality, you know, because you can spend twice as much on one lens by in a name brand. And whereas I'd rather have two lenses for that price, to be quite honest with you, it's all about, let's face it, it's all about the shooting. It's all about what pictures I can get for the money that I have. Really, when you boil it down, isn't that the case? You know, if I've got $1,000 and I can buy one lens that's a name brand like Nikon or Canon, or two lenses that perform to the eye equally as well, I would rather the two lenses. It gives me greater vision, it gives me greater capacity as a photographer, and it's just a far more practical thing. And so therefore, I've never had a problem with either of those brands, Sigma, Takina, or Tamron, and I have owned all three and been very, very pleased with them. So I wouldn't have any issue with those. So tips for buying lenses. Well, those brands are fine, and you can always review them on the internet, and you'll find all sorts of differing opinions, but I've never encountered any issues. These companies are multi-million dollar companies who need to produce good products, and they know that photographers are going to get them out and they're going to put them through their paces and they're going to put them on the internet and everybody's going to read it. So if they don't produce a good product, they're in trouble. It's as simple as that. So I've never had a problem. Do you own any secondary brand or third-party lenses?
I do for my old analog. My 7XI body has got a Tamron 28-200 lens on it. Mm. But all of the stuff that I'm using on my 7D is Minolta or Konica Minolta brand lenses.
Yes, right. Right. And to be honest with you, I know that for years, Minolta and Takina would produce certain lenses for Minolta. So, you know, I mean, if a company that was so big on its glass, and Minolta and Nikon at the time were the only two companies who produced their own glass for their own lenses.
Right.
If a company like Minolta can say, hello, Takina, could you make some lenses for us that won't, you know, that won't cause any problems, I think that says a fairly big thing.
Mm.
So, you know, I suppose tips for buying lenses, Ian, are work out what you need for the photography you do and then work out how best practically to cover those in your budget. I have always said that lenses are, you know, your eyes to the world. And as a photographer, you know, the greater difference or variety of lenses you have, the more you will expand as a photographer. I was talking to Greg Bayer the other day, and I've mentioned him before on this podcast, and a poor guy's only just decided to tune in. So he'll now know for all these, you know, podcasts that I've been talking about him, that he was saying, you know, he knows that I'm a more telephoto kind of guy. And when he's shooting a wedding, he's a more wide angle kind of guy, and he pulls out some fabulous portraits with it.
Mm.
Now, his eye sees differently to mine in terms of lenses. And if he didn't have the lenses to do it, he couldn't do the images that he has a natural proclivity to produce. So, you know, practicality. Get the variety of lenses possible for your budget. And I know that the Canon 70-200 f/4 is not a cheap lens, but if it's the thing that you think you'll use the most, then spend most of your money on that. If you know, because that may be your key lens, just like my 85 1.8 is my live-in lens, and that is a Nikon lens. So that would be my suggestion, Ian, if that's okay, you know, by you. And look, if you need any more information on that, let me know. But those tips basically are, you know, find the lens you're going to work with. If it's a lens you're going to live in, as you suggest the Canon 70-200 f/4 IS might be, then you spend the money on it, absolutely. And because that might be where the majority of your images are going to be taken. And the rest, be practical. Don't necessarily be scared of third-party providers, because they do produce some excellent products. Admittedly, some better and some worse than others. But I have never had an issue with any of the lenses that I've used from these providers. Like I've said on previous podcasts, I've only had an issue with Sigma's construction, but not in all lenses. So, you know, and I think that could also be spoken of with some of the products from both Takina and Tamron. It will just be a matter of picking up the lens, seeing how it works, seeing how it feels, maybe having a look at a few reviews on it optically. But remember that when people review lenses optically, and I think this is something that we really need to bear in mind, they will put these lenses through very, very stringent tests, some of which have nothing to do with what the human eye can actually see. Now, there is a difference, and it is a technical difference. But whether if in real life it makes that much of a difference to you, and you know, the lens that doesn't have that slightly almost negligent, almost not worth mentioning difference is $500 more or $1,000 more, you've got to ask yourself, is it worth spending that kind of money for something no one will ever see? People don't necessarily look at an image and say, oh, I think there's a slight difference, or variation in the la 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 and the, you know, they don't study things for spherical and chromatic aberrations. Let's put it that way. You know, all lenses, if they have to be good in order to sell these days, and the differences between them are often negligible and hardly visible to the human eye. If a lens has an issue with vignetting, and some lenses do, then you've got an issue. If it's a serious issue of vignetting, well, then don't buy the lens. But if it's, you know, if it's negligible and hardly visible, that's your decision. But sometimes we get a little carried away on some of the technical tests of lenses and little realizing that, you know, we will never see it. And so, you know, therein, if you've got the money to throw away, well, buy the better one. But if you don't, I doubt often that you will see the difference. So just be practical and don't get too carried away. Sometimes lenses that are made by third-party providers actually outrate those of a similar focal length made by, you know, your Canons and your Nikons of this world. So it's all very relative, to be quite honest with you. Use your budget and what you can carry. Put those all into your mathematical equations, and you know it'll all come out the other side if you're sensible. Yeah. And those are our emails for this week.
Excellent. And speaking of lenses,
yes,
I've just picked up off eBay a Minolta AF 135 f/2.8 prime.
You're going to live there for a while.
I reckon. I had one of these about. I bought it off. Actually, it's sort of funny story. The guy whose wedding I went to the other week up on the Gold Coast, Andrew.
Yes.
Andrew was the guy who got me onto Minolta in the first place because he had a Maxim 7000i, or what's out here was known as the Dynax 7000i. Yes. This is back in 1990 or 91 when I first met him. And he got me interested in Minolta gear, and that's why I ended up buying the 7000.
Mm.
And he had the 135 f/2.8 lens, and at one point around about 1991 or 92, he sold it to me and he regretted it forever.
Yes.
And then when my house got burgled in, what was that? That must have been about 97 or 98, I guess. All my camera gear got stolen, and that lens went when all my gear got stolen. So I am so looking forward to getting this lens again because it was a gorgeous lens.
And
what excites me is that, of course, now with the, you know, the 3/4 aspect of a digital sensor, that's going to be like a 180 f/2.8.
Yeah. Which if not just, closer to 200.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet.
Yeah, oh, you'll absolutely love it. And I think that there's, and I'd love everybody's opinion on this, I think there's a lens that every photographer just falls in love with and stays there and shoots with all the time because, one, it fits his style of photography, and, two, it's just the way he sees things.
Yeah.
For mine, it's the 85-1.8. For a friend of mine, Ian Rolfe, it's the, you know, he still shoots film. For him, it's the 20mm Nikkor 2.8, and he uses it. He hardly takes it off 22 and 16 because he's a landscape shooter and a hell of a landscape shooter. Yeah. And for my friend Greg, he shoots with a 12-24 on weddings, just wide-angle portraits. You know, I mean, it's all subjective. But the great thing about lenses, and this gets back to your question, Ian, is that you will see a certain way. I think every photographer does see a certain way, and the thing that makes that photographer unique is how they see and then how they've managed to translate their internal vision through the tools of the camera and the lens, and then they come up with their own equation of image making. Every photographer does that. Every successful, unique photographer does that. And Bruce, you'll do the same with your 135-28. This may be your live-in lens.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. It might be just a little bit too long to live in it all the time.
Okay.
But, depends on how far you can get away from your subject, I guess.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, if you're photographing Max or Kathy, if you're doing, you're doing a wedding soon, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you will just take that lens out and make sure that you, use it, because you will love doing bridal portraits with your 135 2.8. I'm telling you, you'll love it. You'll absolutely love it.
Oh, I will be.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I would suggest that everybody who listens to this podcast should hassle you to see some pictures taken with it and some of your pictures from your wedding itself. Yep. Because you will, doing bridal portraits with the 135 2.8, you'll absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be just gorgeous.
Yeah. You know? Oh, look, as soon as it arrives here, I will be out with the camera. You can count on that. And I'm sure that, I'll find some shots that are worthy of throwing up onto the blog. So,
we look forward to it. Mm. Get your bride in some nice backlight, rim lighter.
Yeah.
Get a gold reflector up onto her face. Throw some light back. Mm-hmm. Get your 135 2.8 out, and magic is created.
Sweet.
It's as simple as that kind of formula, man. So, you'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. Good on you, mate. We do look forward to seeing some pictures from you.
Oh, for sure. And thank you very much for going through all that email and addressing all of those questions.
I hope I haven't bored our listeners with all of that, but I think there's something in there for everybody, which is why I went through the process. There were some great emails and some great questions, and I really do appreciate it. It made my life easy, but also the thing that I love about this kind of interaction is that you're telling me what you want to know, and what's the point of doing this podcast if I don't know that,
Yeah, or if we're not addressing it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So really do appreciate it. Once again, Holly, if you're listening, please, send us the line, it's nice to talk to blokes, but it's good to know that there's a girl out there taking pictures. If you are not Holly, but you are nonetheless female, we'd love to hear from you as well and get your take on all this testosterone-driven photography that's going on Shutters Inc.
All right, mate. Remember, you can swing by shuttersincpodcast.com. You can leave comments to any of the posts that are there, whether there's a podcast attached or not. We'd love to read your comments. And you can always drop us an email either to studio@audiotu.com or to shelton@audiotu.com.
Beautiful.
And until next week, take care.
Yeah, everybody, thanks again for all your input.
All right, mate.
Really been fabulous. See you soon.
See ya.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.